Your Bibles, if you would please, this evening, and open up to Hebrews chapter number 10 in the Word of God tonight. Hebrews chapter number 10 in the Word of God this evening. As I look around the auditorium, see some guests that are here with us tonight. And we want to take a moment to just welcome you to the services this evening. We're thankful that you are here, and some that I have not met, and then also see Dr. Carlson and his wife. Good to have y'all here this evening. If you have not met Brother Stephen Carlson's parents, be sure to get by and greet them this evening. It's wonderful to have them here as well as several others. And then also for all of those who are in the auditorium tonight and you work in our kids ministry on Wednesday nights, I just want to take a moment and say thank you very much. You just do an incredible job. In fact, if you are usually not in the auditorium in here on Wednesday nights, would you stand just real quick? If you're not usually in here, you're helping with the kids, or the kids, would you stand up just very quickly around the auditorium? Hey, let's give them a big hand tonight, can we please? And I am so thankful for you. Thank you. You may be seated. And you made it. Like, you made it. You're okay. You're here. Get a little break for a couple weeks, and then off with you, and good luck to you. But we are so thankful for you, for sure. And thank you for being here. For those of you who are visiting, and for those who are not usually in here on Wednesday nights, this is part six of a series now that we have been in on Wednesday nights, simply going through discipleship. And we are now training each other in the Word of God on how to bring somebody through the Word of God, a very new to salvation Christian. This is somebody who has just been saved, they've just been baptized, and now a command of the local church is that we are to train them. You and I have a job that we are to take them, and one-on-one, this discipleship must take place. And so we're going to begin, and we're going to do that right here at Cross Point Baptist Church, and there's a lot of different programs out there and a lot of great programs out there and even teams that will come in and train. But the more that I begin to study and the more I begin to pray about what to do right here at Cross Point, really the Lord laid on my heart, why don't we just do it ourselves? Why don't we take the Word of God, take a book, take notes, and one-on-one take somebody through the Word of God and show them, here's how to be a Christian. And the world that we live in with podcasts and TED Talks and YouTube and everybody on Facebook Live, can I tell you, there is a big responsibility of the church that you and I need to be taking somebody through the Word of God. Because if there is a new Christian, if there's someone out there, they're going to find the answers. They're going to be on Google. They're going to go out there. And we want somebody to be grounded in the Word of truth. And so we've been now through six parts taking somebody as we would through the Word of God. And what we really started with, you ready for this? We started with the Word of God. We started with a foundation. You have somebody that's brand new. You have somebody that's saved. And where do you start? Well, you can't start with where we've gotten off many a times in our churches is with, well, here's what I think, and here's the standards that I have, and, well, this is my preference, and so this is what I'll start with. Okay, before we jump into our preferences, we really ought to find out what thus saith the Lord. If you're with me tonight, would you say amen? Let's start with the Bible. Let's start with the final authority. Let's start with something that never changes. And so we have the Word of God, and we're going to take somebody through the Word of God. Then after the Word of God, we started with God. We've got to start with the Word. We have a final authority. Now we're going to show somebody an eternal God, something that is being attacked today, the deity and the very preservation of God and who He is, God that's the same yesterday and today and forever, a God who has always existed. You turn on any TV, they begin to attack the eternality of God. And so we showed them through the Word of God an eternal God. But then after that, we showed them this eternal God, you ready for this, that's interested in their life. And I want to remind you this evening, in the last of the last days that you and I live in, you say, Pastor, do you really believe that God's coming back? Absolutely, I believe we are in the end of the end days. This is it. Brother Titus, we're talking about this today. We really believe that, and nobody knows the hour, so don't be like, well, Pastor Shepherd said, but nobody knows the hour, but we're definitely not going to be shocked. The lost world is going to be shocked like a thief that cometh in the night. We shouldn't be shocked. Why? We have signs and seasons. We have the Word of God that shows us, ready for this? That we are in the last days. And living in the last days, as dark as it is out there and as crazy as it is out there, We have a God that is interested in our lives. He's interested in your day to day, and he's interested in my day to day. We have the final authority of God's word. We have this eternal God. This eternal God, watch very carefully, that is interested in our life, and then we teach somebody how to talk to him. It's prayer. It is a communication with God. And you wouldn't believe the amount of young Christians that get so scared about this talking to God. And I got to have it just perfect and just right. And it's got to be beautiful. And yet we begin to see that it's just a communication with our Abba Father. And I had 20-year-old, 6-year-olds that got saved this past year. Man, to see them talk to God is so real. And it's so genuine. Why? Because it's not this, everybody listen up, watch here. Listen to this big, beautiful, awesome prayer. It is a simple communication with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then last week, we begin to see the Holy Spirit that reigns in our hearts and our lives. That comforter that is there for us. Anybody, don't raise your hand, but anybody have a bad day today? Have a bad day yesterday? It was Monday, 2 days ago. It should have been a good day. It was beautiful weather, but nonetheless, we go through bad days. Can I tell you this evening, Pastor Dan, as you begin to read through those prayer requests and even the little Grayson who's going through what he's going through, can I tell you, as hard as it is for that family, Brandon and Kaylee, can I tell you the Holy Spirit is right there with them. I'm telling you, over the last couple of years, it was very tough not being able to be in hospitals because of COVID and all the rules and regulations. I have a 90-year-old grandmother. Man, we were talking to her through a window on the outside of the home that she's in. Sad, hard, disheartening, lonely. But can I tell you, as a saved person, we're never truly alone. The Holy Spirit is there with us. Isn't that encouraging tonight? Now let's begin to dig in here in Hebrews chapter number 10. Would you stand with me for the reading of God's word tonight? After now we have dug into the Holy Spirit, let's look at Hebrews chapter 10, a super familiar passage of scripture, but let's read it. We're going to dig in a lot of different parts, a little bit topical tonight, but I want us to hit verses number 24 and 25, the very end of chapter number 10 of Hebrews. Watch what the Word of God says. It says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." Provoke generally in the Word of God and in life is not a good thing. It's usually very negative. Raising 5 kids right now. Hardly ever, like 0 out of 10, do we ever use provoke in a good way. It's Tommy, stop provoking your sisters. Sister, stop provoking your brother. You know, provoke, push. It's a pushing. Usually it's negative. In this sense, it's very positive. It's a provoking. It's an encouragement. Watch what it says. Consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. The verse continues. It's separated by a colon here, but watch what it says in verse number 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting, again, encouraging one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. For the next couple of moments, I want us to look now as a young Christian begins to grow, continues to grow. I want us to look at the importance of the church. I want us for the next couple of moments to look at the subject of the importance of the church. I know you're standing. Hold on, watch it, I'm done. Now watch this. In a day where people make light of church, we ought to be making much of the subject of church. In a day where church comes last, we're going to see tonight, it ought not to be that way. It ought to be first. When something is important in your life, name one thing that's important in your life. Anything. Coach Schneider, name one thing that's important in your life. Anything. Grandkids. Very good. Pastor Defoe, one thing that's important in your life. Your wife, that's a good one. You stole mine, Pastor Defoe. But nonetheless, Brother Bruce, name one thing. Kids, Miss Gail. Family. Things are important in your life. All these. Food. Anybody agree with me? Food. I was given a whole bag of Peeps tonight, still left over. You say, you're going to eat those from Easter? You betcha. They're important to me. But you know what ought to be important to us? The local church. But what is the church? Is this the church? Are we the church? Okay, let's look at the importance of the church. Father, give me the words to say tonight. We love you and we need you. Work now, Savior. In your son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. There are multiplied hundreds of thousands of organized institutions. However, today we know from God's word that he is mainly working through one institution. It is an institution that is divinely set up by Jesus for you and I living in this dispensational age. The age of grace, the church age that you and I live in, God is working through an institution for you and for me, and that institution is called the church. Therefore, if a Christian truly desires to grow, if a Christian truly desires to be all that God wants them to be, they are going to set up in their life this priority. It's going to be at the top of that list. If you and I watch now, just not as a young Christian or somebody who has just been saved, but maybe somebody who is mature in faith, somebody who's been saved for 50, 60, maybe even 70 years, who have spent their entire life, all things Jesus, there is going to be something that is going to take precedence in their life, and that is church. Why? Because the church is where you and I, as a young Christian, but also as a seasoned Christian, begin and continue to grow. So as we look at the importance of church, let's look at, first of all, what is the church? And or the definition of the church. Number one, the definition. The word church has the meaning of, in the Word of God, a called out assembly. The church has been called out, and the church has been, watch very carefully now, the church has been called out, and it has been set apart from the world. It is a very different, there's a big difference between the world and what you and I would call the church. The word ecclesia has the idea of local, visible, called out, organized assembly of people. You see, the church, watch, by the very definition, is going to be very different because why? God has called it to be that way. The church is a possession of God. By this, I mean that God is the owner of the church. The Bible puts it this way. It says, Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28. Take heed thereto unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath, watch very carefully, purchased. That means he owns it. He hath purchased with his own blood. Paul calls it in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15, the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. That means, listen very carefully, God himself is the CEO. That means he is the president and the sole shareholder. You and I have to comprehend this evening that God alone is over the church. We put it this way. He is the shepherd of the church. It is not a pastor. It is not a pope. It is not a deacon. It is not a Sunday school teacher. It is not a big giver. Understand this. God is over the church. He is the shepherd. He bought it and purchased it with his own blood. You say, then pastor, why do we have a pastor? Comprehend this. I know my last name, Shepherd. It can be confusing, but follow it. I am not the shepherd of the church. I am the under-shepherd. I don't do what I want. I don't come in here and, well, bless God, I think we'll change this. And I don't really like this salvation of my faith. It's a little bit confusing. So let's just make it, you know, some Hail Marys. And we're going to make it, drink some water and do some good works. And, I don't really like salvation. It's for everyone. So what I like to do is, Dirk, I'd like to come in. I'd like to change that and make it a salvation only for some people. Excuse me. No, whoa, hold on. The pastor doesn't come in and set it up. It is already set up. Well, Brother Beeman, how do we get that? You have to go back to the very Word of God. The pastor is the under-shepherd that is following the leadership of God. God speaks through, and God begins to lead, and God begins to guide. But it's not just pastor-shepherd. But any pastor, hold on, check it out. Any pastor that goes contrary to this book is not a pastor. They are not the under-shepherd. They are a hireling. They are not protecting the flock. They are doing what they want. And let me tell you, there is some grave warning in the Word of God against somebody that comes in and just wants to take over what is already and has always been God's. Does that make sense tonight? Would you say amen? Even for those of you who are watching TuneIn via live stream, you have to comprehend that the subject of the church is not, it's okay, let's just take it or leave it. We got a lot of churches even in the Indianapolis area, and we're good, we're great. Now, everybody just do your own thing. Time out. Like, are we going to believe this book, or are we not going to believe this book? Are we going to get back to the Bible? Are we just going to do, every man did that which was right in his own eyes? Can I tell you, friend, I'm not interested in what every man's doing and right and wrong. I'm interested in what thus saith the Lord. I'm interested in what the Word of God says. I'm interested in getting to heaven one day and hearing, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And if you and I desire to hear that, we have to comprehend that the church, by definition, is a called out assembly, and it was started by and owned by Jesus Christ himself. As the church, now watch very carefully, you and I are called out by salvation. The Bible says it this way, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness, out of it, into his marvelous light. All who have been saved are a part of the church. You and I have now joined into this institution. You and I, now check it out very carefully. This is where sometimes it gets muddy and we get way off and we get really confused to where we have those that it's only this and it's only if you wear this, do this, sing this, that's the only thing that constitutes a church. And then we've got those who are way over here that, well, where two or three are gathered in my name and I'm in the midst, and that's a church. And we can have church now, and I quote, this is not exaggerated, I gave you the proof several months ago, where there are those in Washington, D.C. where their church is, come to the bar, we'll grab some drinks, and we'll talk about God, and that is their church, from cowboy churches to railroad churches to this church, clown church, you Google it, how many churches are out there, and some crazy stuff. So where's the balance? Well, the balance has to be the very Word of God. So what constitutes it? If you and I are the church, then how do we become that church? How are we part of God's church? Well, once you and I are saved, we become part of the body of Christ. The Bible says it like this in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 22. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. The church, watch now, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Chapter 2 and verse number 23 says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Ephesians 5 verse 27, that he might present unto himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but should be that holy and without blemish. Verse number 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Colossians 1:18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, watch, for his body's sake, which is the church. You see, you can have a membership in 100 local church assemblies and still go to hell. Do you comprehend? You can go around to every church, and I joined this 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 church. You are not part of the body of Christ. When you, by faith, accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, it is at that moment that you are, watch now, you are baptized through the Holy Ghost into the body of Christ. That's why the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Now, here is where this is, again, where we get a little bit confused. And, oh, my goodness, I have been in, I can't tell you how many countless dozens and dozens of hours, Pastor Foe, where it's the local church versus the universal church. And the universal church, everybody would say, we're all big one conglomerate, we're all big one spirit, we're all part of the church. Okay, well, hold on. How do we get back to Scripture? And as Bible believers, how do we follow the Word of God? Now, if, and I've said this before, but just follow me, if this building tomorrow was destroyed, is the Church of God, Cross Point Baptist Church, is it destroyed? Yes or no? It's not. Well, it's a place where we meet. This is, watch now, a local assembly of the church coming together. Watch this very carefully. If you're saved tonight, say amen. You're the church. No, seriously. Are you saved tonight? Really say amen. Then you're part of the church. Okay? When I got, Carrie, can you help me for just a second? If you don't mind, come on up here. When I was single, I was not part of the institution of marriage. I was single. I didn't have my helpmeet. I didn't have my wife. I was single. And Carrie, you were the same way. And so understand, I am a single man. And then when Carrie and I came together and joined in marriage, and she took this ring and put it on my finger, and I took her this ring and that's actually a pretty ring there, girl. Anyways, and I put it on her finger. Watch now. We became married. We are now part of the institution of marriage. Now, follow me. When you got saved, you became part of the institution of the church. Okay? We're the body of Christ. He's coming for his bride. We're the bride. But check it out. When I join the institution of marriage, we're part of the institution of marriage all over. I didn't marry y'all. We married each other. This is my local assembly. This is, we're together. Sorry, I love y'all, but you ain't joining this. Like, we're shepherds. We're married together. Let's keep it that way, girl. You got it? Okay, so it's us. Thank you, Kara. It's us. The church is the same way. We're the body of Christ. We join the institution of the church, but watch, we're not part of this big, invisible, crazy out there and just everybody together. No, comprehend. We are now going to be part of the local, you and I coming together, the local assembly, the church. We come together and meet. We come together. Now, when God comes for his bride and the rapture, the trumpet sounds, does that mean only Cross Point Baptist goes up? No, who goes up? The church, the body of Christ across the nation. Those who have been saved. Brother Matt in Africa. For those of you who have been in Mexico. I've been in Southeast Asia. Carrie's been in Scotland. All the souls that we won to the Lord, boom, they're called up out of here. They've been saved. It's not just the Baptists that go up, friend. It's not just those that are this or that or that. No, comprehend. All those that have been saved, that the body of Christ, they're called up out of here. But it's more than just the church of like, okay, I'm saved, got my fire insurance. Now I'm good. I do my own thing, right? No. You and I have been called out of this world to come together to assemble. Well, why are we called together to assemble? Well, now we're going to see not only definition, but let's look for the next couple of moments at the purpose, okay? What is the purpose of the church? Well, there's all kinds, and I'm just going to run through several of these tonight, but we really, I mean, Pastor Fitzgerald, I could preach for weeks on this. We could get down, but I think for time's sake, remember, we're going to take this, we're going to share it with somebody. Somebody says, well, what's the church? Okay, well, here's the church. It's called out assembly. It's you and I gathering together. What's the purpose? If I come, you know, I want to be a CEO, church on Easter and church on Easter only. Christmas, though, here it is, a CEO, Christmas and Easter only. That's a lot of CEOs out there, is there? They go to church on Christmas and Easter only. But hold on. It's more than that. Why do we gather? Well, what's the purpose? Well, the purpose is it's a place of exhortation. The Bible says here, look at verse number 25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. We're coming together as the manner of some is, but look at the wording here. I love these next three words. Exhorting one another. And so much the more as ye see the day approaching. There is an exhortation that takes place. This is bearing one another's burdens, and it's coming together and understanding and comprehend that the church must be a place where there can be, hold on, listen now, encouragement. In the world that you and I live, and we can teach this to our teenagers, but I think as adults, we need to hear this as well. Do you know that the world that you and I live in, it really is a dark, no, hold on, let's put that aside. Let me rephrase it. You ready for this? It's a very mean world out there. Like, have you noticed that? Like, it's not just disagreeing. We used to say we were young. Now nobody says this. Well, I guess we just have to agree to, say it out loud, disagree. I mean, we don't have that anymore. Well, you don't agree with somebody, it's dog eat dog. It's as loud as I can yell. My goodness, you watch some of what's taking place on these front lines of people who are pro-life and some who are pro-choice. And I'm here to tell you, it is wicked and vile and destructive what is taking place of just filth spewing from their mouths. And we saw that over the last 2 years. You don't agree, and you're this, and the name-calling, and the insinuations. And can I, okay, so we get all that. I don't have to teach it to you. You know it's out there. It ought not to be in the church. Like, you and I get torn down enough, not because of who we are, but because of who He is. We're persecuted enough for His name's sake. We're not called to be each other's persecutors. We're not called to be each other's, well, bless God, you don't agree with me, and you said this, I said that, well, I'm going to lay and blast them. Hold on, whoa, time out. What about be kind one to another? Well, they don't agree with me. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Well, you don't understand how they hurt me, and they said this, and they said that, and they did this, they did that, and we don't agree. And I thought, hold on, time out. Even for God, as Christ's sake, have forgiven you. It's not about us. Hold on. The church, you ready for this? The church is not about us. It's not about me. You ready for this? I don't mean to be mean, but I'm just saying, it's not about you. Well, I don't like the way that worship service went. I want to remind you, we were worshiping you. We were worshiping the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Well, I don't like the way that pastor went 3 minutes over. Well, you might not like it, but there's some people who love it. Amen. Take that. I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't like this. I don't like that. Excuse me. We're not here to tear each other down. There are some people in here with ties on. There's some people in here with not ties on. There are some people in here with bald heads. There's some people who have hair. There are some people who got here late, and there are some people who got here early. There are some people who think it's too hot in here. There's some people who think it's too cold in here. Okay, hold on. Before we just try to break it all down, I want to find the church that's right for me, and what can you do for my kids and for me? And I want me. Hold on. Let's back up here for a minute. Did you purchase this place with your blood? And neither did I. But He did. And God forbid at Cross Point, I'm not saying this is happening, God forbid we ever get away from the reason and the purpose that we meet in this place. And if we don't exhort each other, you might as well mark Ichabod on the door and put chains on, because I'm here to tell you, we're going to shoo the Holy Spirit right out of this place. If there was ever a time, if there was ever a day, if there was ever a moment in the history of the church that God's people ought to come together and exhort each other and help each other and not kick each other while they're down and understand that there's different standards and different preferences and there's some actual liberty in Christ and not my way, your way, her way, his way. No, it's not about us. It's all about him. And the church exists to come together. Why? So that you and I can pray and exhort and help and encourage. And I love what the Bible says, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Well, guess what? The day's approaching. Well, one day, you know, I'm gonna exhort when the time gets close. The time is close, friend. Lift up. Encourage. The purpose is, watch now, exhortation, but also it is a place of fellowship. The early church, the Bible says, and they continued steadfastly. Listen to what the Word of God says. In the apostles' doctrine and, listen now, fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. You and I cannot love each other with our whole heart fervently if we're never together. I just love my family. Boy, I just love you. Care, I tell you what, twice a year, I'm going to get together with you. I love her. I just love my kids. I just love them. You know, once a month I try to see them and talk to them. Come on. Fellowship is coming together. Fellowship is it ought to be natural. Fellowship is you and I and coming together and loving. Man, when I was, George, I'll just be honest, I learned a lot. I praise the Lord for older pastors in my life that helped me as a 26-year-old pastor and helped me to see through some of these things. But Karen will tell you, I am one of these that just, I'm an organizer, and I think everybody's got to be entertained. Everybody's got to have a place to sit. In fact, we were down at PCC a couple weeks ago, and we all got on this van, and I started doing the numbers, and I thought, nope, we're going to be two people short. Two people that are supposed to be on this tour bus are not going to fit. And so I jumped up and I began to go out to, and I'm going to make some room. And Carrie grabbed me by literally the back of my pants and pulled me down and said, they'll figure it out. And she was right. They figured it out. They brought another bus. I was a couple steps ahead of them. But nonetheless, I am that type of person. But you know what God had to teach me? Is that fellowship has to be natural. They came together in doctrine, and after that doctrine and the Word of God, the fellowship, you ready for this, naturally flowed. Oh, my word. Terry, you remember early ministry? I was like, oh, we have cliques in this church. We have too many cliques. There's this group, and there's this group, and this group. We do not have the Holy Spirit here. I've got to fix this. Like I'm going to fix people, okay? And then there's some people who help me, like, you know what? There's people that like each other. It's like the sporty people, and they like sports, and you're not going to hang out with them. There's people, I said it's Sunday, there's people that like dogs. So it's not a click. Maybe it is a click, but they like dogs. There's people who hate dogs, and they're going to be over here, and they're going to be talking about their cats versus the dog people. And then there's old people and young people and teenagers. When's the last time you were invited over to a teenager's house to hang out and play Xbox? That means they have a click. It means they have a fellowship. And you and I have to be the same. I had to learn that when we get in church, it'll take place naturally. Well, here's what I want, Pastor Shepherd. I'm going to join the church, but we're only going to join if you let me know, what can you do for my family? What kind of activities you're going to have? How much you going to entertain me? What's the ladies and men's meetings? How many times are we going to go to camp? Are we going to go shopping? Are we going to once a month? Hold on. Whoa, time. Time out. It's natural. I had to learn care real quickly. Like, it is not the pastor's responsibility to find out by friends. He who hath friends must show himself friendly. Well, I'm not going to that church anymore. They're not friendly. When you sit over the corner and don't talk to anybody, most people aren't going to talk to you. Well, I need this youth group is the most unfriendly youth group. I've heard it, Pastor Bell. It's the most unfriendly youth group I have ever heard in my life. Bruce, you get your eyes are this big, but I promise you, I am not lying. This is the most unfriendly. Boy, first I'm like, oh my goodness, okay, let's call 70 kids in. Let's talk to them. Guys, you got to be hoorah. You got to be friendly, and you got to be in there. Come on, go. We're going to lose this family. And then all of a sudden, I go up to the youth room, and they're all sitting in the corner with their little hoodies up on their phones, and the whole youth group's having a good time. this is some good preaching. I'm telling you right now. And I realize, we're not here to entertain. We're here to come together to exhort. You want a fellowship? Let's fellowship. Man, let's talk about Jesus. Let's talk about the King of Kings. Let's talk about his return. You want to debate coronavirus? You go on Facebook. Like, we don't need that. You want to debate, you know, whether red, blue, this, that. Oh, my word. But baseball, basketball, football, man, we can get in downright arguments. And sometimes it's all in good fun, but let me just put it this way. You want fellowship? Come fellowship. I love this, Bert. I was going to use you, but I'm just going to say it. Bert said today, you know what? I'm not a basketball player, and I'm not, you know, whatever you said, Bert. I can't remember the wording, but he's like, yeah, I'm not a big basketball player, but you know, I just want to come and hang out with the men on Thursday night. God, let that be my heart. I just want to be around God's people. Exhortation and fellowship. But you know what? It's also a place of Bible teaching and preaching. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them. Watch now, they hear thee. Don't tune out here, watch. You want to learn the Bible? Do you want to draw close to God? Be in church. People all the time, man, oh, times get tough. Boy, I'm gonna die for my Savior. Boy, I'd be the first one to volunteer. You know, those are the type of people that you see once or twice a year. We say we're going to die for Jesus and we can't even be in church together. Oh, the time comes, well, we're going to take up arms together. We're going to, well, stand for Jesus Christ. Man, Christians battle over some crazy things with each other. Meantime, the lost is dying and going to hell. And our weapons are all pointed at each other. Do we want to grow past that? Or do we want to stay in that immature stage for the rest of our lives? We want to grow? Get under the preaching of God's word. Boy, I just wish I had a husband that be in church. I wish I had a wife that be in church. I wish I was the type of wife that be in church. I wish I was the type of husband that be in church. I wish my kids would be in church. You want to grow in him? Be in church. Well, I like to bring visitors, but boy, I'm just telling you, I'm kind of into the more teachy stuff. I'm going to put it plain. I am, you know me by now. I am passionate about preaching. It's what I'm called to do. It's what I'm called to be as a preacher of the Word of God. And do you know that I am commissioned, the Bible says, to preach the Word of God, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. Watch very carefully. That's my job, but it says, and doctrine. The pastor is commanded to preach. The pastor is commanded to rebuke. The pastor is commanded to exhort. The pastor is commanded to do all these things in long suffering and kindness, but also in doctrine. That's where we go back to the very beginning. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 1, but speak thou the things which become, watch very carefully, sound doctrine. The church is a place where you and I get fed. Watch now. We get saved. We're part of the body of Christ. We are Christians. But then we join that institution. Now we're part of a local institution, a local assembly. Why? It's to hear the preaching of God's word. Well, what's the purpose of that? Well, the Bible puts it like this. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in unity of faith and of knowledge of the Son of God. Watch, don't tune out. Unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth, watch very carefully, this is why we assemble, this is the purpose, this is why we have teachers and pastors, this is why we have preaching, watch, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of man and the cunning of craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love. May we grow up in him, all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the body fitly joined together and have compacted by that every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That's a mouthful, Pastor. Here's what it is. We cannot be kids tossed to and fro. You know, kids don't know what they like. I'm not eating this. I don't like this, Mom. Takes a bite. Oh, Mom, this is the best meal I've ever had. Tossed to and fro, back and forth. I love this game. I hate this game. We just bought this. I don't like it. Anybody spend money at Christmas time? Get your kids this. Spend 4 hours putting that stinking thing together, getting the batteries, the tiny little screwdriver that nobody can see. Finally get the batteries. You give it to them. I don't like that. And they're playing in the box that it came in. Anybody with me on this? We can't be kids tossed to and fro. We are Bible believers. We come together. Well, you know, you said something in that message, and boy, it just hit me. Pastor, you really stepped on my toes. Excuse me, not the pastor, the Holy Spirit. No. Well, some really hard preaching. Nope, it's Bible preaching. This Bible will mess with your doctrine. And may God be true and every man a liar. Let his word go forth. May we continue if God tarries. This is Thomas Shepherd speaking. May we continue at Cross Point Baptist Church to send kids to Bible college and get men in platforms like this and pulpits like this around the globe that are not scared to preach and thunder the very word of God. May we pray for it, desire it, want it. I didn't get to finish all of them, but a purpose. Exhort. Man, we exhort fellowship. Let's get around, talk, have friends, make friends. Get in a Sunday school class, life stage group, connection group. I don't care what you want to call it. Get in and be with the people that are of your age and soak up the word of God. Fellowship. But man, you know, the main purpose is to preach Jesus. You pray for your pastors here. It's going to get tough. It's going to get dark. Oh, it's coming. I read today. Okay, hold on. Let's not all be conspiracy theorists. Let's just be Bible believers and know that it's coming and that we got to keep heralding God's word. Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer tonight.